So we're going to finish up Perek Dala today in Hilchos Tshuva. So just a couple final points the Rambam makes about people whose certain sins that they engage in or actions they do that prevent or present as obstacles to being able to do tshuva. We left off on Halacha Dalet. We've done the case of Hamistakel Barayos, and now we're up to the last two. So one of them is Hamiskabe Bekalon Chavero. So it's like a person who like gains like satisfaction and honor from the shaming of his friend. This is Omer Belibo, Sheino Chet. This isn't a sin. The Vishain Chavero Omet Sham. Velo Higilo Boshes. Right? Velo Baisho. Erla Arach Masa Vatovim Chachmaso. Lumo Masa Chavero. O Chachmaso. So the guy says to himself, if you get a certain pleasure out of the, I'll put a little expanded definition, upon the destruction of your friend internally. So a guy will say to himself, what did I do wrong? I didn't do anything wrong. I just thought about, what do you call it, this guy's demise. I didn't embarrass him, right? He doesn't know what I was thinking. There's no Lashon Hara here. And all I did was, I'm contrasting my success against his demise. He says, that's a problem. It's so this idea of looking at your friend in a way where, again, all these have in common is that a person doesn't think it's a chayt. It's very easy for him to think that. And I think the Rambam uses this as an example. But if a person gets a certain pleasure out of his friend's demise, that is something that could be ma'akev the tshuva. And the last one is choshe b'ksherim. Choshe b'ksherim, that means where you assume, what do you call, the worst in a person. Omer belibo, sheno chet. He says, lefishu omer ma'asisi lo. So let's say you see someone, what do you call it, doing something that's questionable, or they say something that's questionable, and you assume the worst thing. That's choshe b'ksherim. Chashab meaning concern in someone who's appropriate. So he says himself, "Lefisho Omer Ma Sisi Lo," right? V'chi Yesh Shem Ela Chashad Shema Asa Lo Asa, right? V'hu Ein Yodea Shezeh Avon Shemisim Otam Kasher B'Daito Kebal Avera. And the problem is that what the person's doing with your Choshev Yecherim is you're taking somebody who is kasher, right? And you're considering, excuse me, you're considering him in your mind like a Bal Avera. Okay. Basically, the problem is that what you're doing is you're like thinking of a person in a way where you're taking him from being a regular, a kosher individual into a Baal Avera. So that is also something that a person might think to himself, I didn't do anything to the guy. I just had this inappropriate thought about him. So these are all examples of situations, and I think I want to, again, stress that they're examples, of situations where a person thinks to himself, what's the harm? When in fact it actually is a chait. So in those situations, it's very difficult for a person to do tshuva. Finally, in Halacha Hey, he says, "Umehein chamisha dvarim ha'osa osam yimshach acharem tamid v'kashim heim lifrosh mehen." So these are things where if a person does them more than once, it becomes a habit, right? Then it's very, very difficult to ever separate from them. Okay, lefikach tzarech adam lihizar mehen. Right, shem yidbach mehen. So therefore, a person has to be extremely careful because it's so simple to become attached to them. Vehein kulan deos raos ad mod, and they're all very, very bad thoughts, okay, and bad actions and bad traits. Veilohem. So we know these already. Rechilos of lashon hara. Okay, remember rechilos is where you're a rabble rouser. You're telling A that B says something bad about him, and then B that A says something bad about him. And lashon hara, we know ubal chema, which is an angry person. Ubal machshava ra. Which, by the way, is a huge category, but someone who has inappropriate, evil thoughts. That is chaver l'rasha. Also, if someone becomes friendly or attaches himself to an evil person, that's an important one. You got to choose your friends carefully. If you become close to somebody who's evil, right, you'll be affected by their actions, and eventually they'll affect you internally, and you'll change as a result. Hu shamar shloma of ruach silim yaruah. So, and that's the Rambam's almost hinting to you that if you look in Hilchos Deos, where he goes, if you recall, he goes through a list of a lot of things that are inappropriate actions to do from a trait standpoint, okay? Obviously, this applies by Baal Tshuva, meaning if a person is more and more engaged in these types of evil traits, the ability to go ahead and do Tshuva becomes more and more difficult. So there's an idea of a certain regularity that a person has in these types of areas. It gets more and more difficult for the person to break away and repent for what he did. So he finishes off the parak with halacha vav, kol elu hadvarim uchiyotze behen, all these things and other ones. So it's not limited to this. Okay, and there's again, I think some of these are ingrained halachically, so to speak. Some of them are more guidance, but all these things, afal pi shema'achven esa tshuva, ein monin osa. All right, even though they're a preventative, they create a tremendous obstacle and the ability to repent. It never prevents the guy, meaning it's not removed from him. So no matter what he says about these, no matter how difficult they might be, it never means that God closes off the door to tshuva. Again, essentially what the Rambam is trying to show you is that don't think that that if a guy does a chet, it's just easy to do tshuva. There are certain types of sins that a person engages in where the road to tshuva is much more difficult. Okay. Perek Hay begins the Rambam's introduction to us about free will. Okay. As I mentioned, when we first started Hilchos Tshuva, not only does the Rambam deal with specific issues about repentance, he also deals with major topics in metaphysics. And one of them is free will. And as you'll see, I mean, it's obviously very intuitive why free will is in Hilchos Tshuva, because if a person doesn't have the ability to choose, then the idea of repenting is an impossibility. So that's why it's important to focus on that. Now the Rambam's, we're going to do this carefully. I don't want this to get too far off the Rambam's approach. I'll try to sprinkle in a little bit of some of the questions that come up. This topic is something that philosophers have been in discussion with for forever. And there's different theories of free will that exist. So we're going to see how the Rambam guides us. And again, he's going to view it through the prism of the Torah, which will, I think, make it a little easier, to have a more simple understanding of what free will is. The Rambam says in Perek Hey Alech Aleph, Rishos Tuchol Adam Nesuna, okay? Im Ratzo Lahatos Atzmo Derek Tovo, V'Lio Tzadik, Tzadik, HaRishos Biado. So it's almost like what he's saying is that there's a certain ability, okay, that is ingrained in the very identity of a human being. Okay, and as part of the identity of being a human is the ability to say, if I choose to, if I want to, if I desire, right, to follow the path of good and become a tzaddik, the reshus is with me. I have the ability to do such a thing. And also, if I want to become someone bad, the reshus is in my hands as well. So the Rambam lays it out as clearly as possible. A person has the ability to choose which path of life he wants to live. Okay, does he want to live the good life or the bad life? Hu shekasu b'Torah, hein ha'adam hayak echad menu ladas tov vera. And so we're going back to the time of Adam, Arishom, where God makes it clear that man has the ability to know good from evil. Kolomar, hein min zeh sh'adam hayayachad ba'olam. Right, so the Rambam explains that humanity is literally is a unique species in the world, and in fact, you could even argue in the Rambam sense the universe. All right, there's no species like man. Why? Of Amen Shani Domalo Bezeha Inyan, and no one else is like this in this area. So when it comes to the ability of choosing good versus bad, right? There's nothing. There's no species like this. Now, again, does that mean an animal doesn't make a choice? Unclear. The Rambam is focused not simply on the idea of choosing vanilla versus chocolate. Notice he characterizes the idea of choice in using the Torah's language as tovera, meaning whether you want to say the essential or the epitome of choice in man is good versus evil. Okay, and it doesn't seem like in species other than humanity that the idea of making decisions rooted in evil and good don't really exist. So he says, "Ve'emin sheni doma lo b'zeh inyan shehu me'atzmo b'daito machshavaso yodea tov hara." That he knows, right? A person knows in his mind, or just when he thinks about it, what the good and what the evil is. The osa kol mashu chifetz, right? And he could do whatever he wants. Ve'ein mishi yakev yado melasos atov hara, right? Ve'kivan shekenhu pen yishlach yado, and this is a key thing. Not he can do, so to speak, what he wants or desires. At the same time, no one can prevent him from doing that, okay? An example, this is actually one of the critical components of free will that modern philosophers sort of certainly define as. One of them, one of the three, the third one being that you have control over your actions. Meaning, as an example, if someone came along and let's say I came along and when Joe wasn't paying attention, I slipped some electrodes into his brain, and then Joe was standing in front of the shul, and Joe said to himself, I plan on going into the shul, and then I press a little button, and my button causes his brain to tell him he's not going to go into shul. That would not be free will. That's an indication a person does not have free will. So the Rambam's focusing on this idea that there's no external force, right, telling the person, forcing him one way or the other. Now, obviously, the Rambam's putting this in his context because he wants us to focus on the idea of God, meaning God's ability to give us free will precludes the idea that God will not, so to speak, and I know the famous case of Paro, so we'll put that to the side, that God will not be a force to stop man or prevent man from making this, what do you call it, this choice. Okay, so he says, Al yavor machshav asacha, davar zesha omrim, tipche, umas olam, rov gomle b'nei Yisrael. Okay, so don't think to yourself the stupidity that the non-Jewish world thinks, okay? And he's grouping in philosophers as well. Then what is it? Shakadosh Baruch Hu gozer al adam metchilas b'yaso liyo tzadik arasha. So don't think for a second that God puts in place into a human, when a human is born, inside that very person, he has no choice. In other words, from the point of birth, it's determined that he'll be at Tzadik HaRasha. You can't think such a thing. All right. Now, again, of course, the Rambam himself was Moda in Hilchos Deos, right, if you recall, that people are born with certain traits. And those traits, in a sense, tend to gear a person in more towards one side or another side. Not necessarily Tov or Ra, but more insofar as a person may be born with a certain trait that lends itself to anger or being stingy, whatever it might be. So the Rambam is not saying when you're born with a complete blank slate. He's trying to put it still in the category or the framework of good versus evil. So God never determines from birth whether a person is good or evil. And that's also critical to understand, as he's going to give cases in a second, that when we see in the Torah someone like Esav or someone like Lavan or someone like Bilam, each one of them had the ability to choose whether they wanted to be Rasha or not. And so too with Moshe Rabbeinu. So it wasn't that God chose Moshe, and now Moshe was born without any ability to choose Tzadik or Rasha. No, it's part of his very identity as being a human. So Eina Davar came. Ela kol adam roilo liot Tzadik Moshe Rabbeinu, or Rasha ki Rava. Right? So he says, every person has the ability to be either a Tzadik, just like Moshe, or a Rasha like Yerava. Okay, that ability to choose is never taken away from us. O Chacham, O Sachal, O Rachman, O Achzari, O Kili, O Shav, the King Shar Kol Adeos. And you have control, okay, to some extent, not only over your being wise or foolish, but also so far as your traits are concerned. So there is an idea that we can exercise control over our traits, meaning even if someone has a propensity to be aggressive, that doesn't mean he doesn't have the ability to stop himself from doing that. So today we like to fall back on things like nature and nurture as being almost reflexive products of who we are. The Rambam would question that tremendously and say, no, even if I have a strong propensity to lean in a certain direction, that doesn't mean I don't have the ability to what I call, which is free won't. Free won't meaning there's free will and free won't. Free won't is I won't do this. So even though I have a terrible temper, I'll stop myself from yelling at somebody. He says, "Ve'ein lo mishi kafayo v'lo gozer love." Okay, and there's no one who's forcing him, no one who created a decree for him. V'lo misha moshcho le'echa mishnei drachim, and no one is guiding him towards one of the two ways. No one's pushing him towards the road of tzadik rasha. Elohu me'atzmo umidato nota le'ezer derech shiyirtze. Rather, he on his own will choose. He chooses which path he wants to go down. So it's in the person's. It's the person. Notice he's always talking about tzadik tovera, tzadik v'rasha. It's always in the person's ability to choose which path. Hu shiyir miyahu amar mipi elyon lo tzeitzi haroos v'atov. Klomar. Ein abore gozer al adam lios tov lios ra. God doesn't decree on man to be either good or bad. The kevan shekein hu nimsa, ze achote hu hefsid et atzmo. Okay? And since that's the case, right, so now the chote has the ability, so to speak, to leave that state. A chote can never say, look, listen, what am I supposed to do? I was created this way. Lefikach roilo livkos lukoni achatov. And that's why if a person does a sin, since you know you had the choice whether to perform the sin or not, a person should cry and be like just regret and be feel terrible, right, about the fact that he committed a sin, right? Val Masha also Nashra Vagam La Ra. So if a person really internalized the reality of free will, the person would be horrified at the fact that he used this tremendous faculty that God gave us, right, to go ahead and choose something that was wrong. Who should cause of Acher of Ma'izon and Adam Chai? The Chaz of Amra, Hol Urshusenu Biatenu, Umidatenu, Asinu Koloros, Roy Lanu Lachzor B'tshuva, V'lazo V'shenu. So since it's in our control, right, to go ahead and choose to do something evil, therefore it's also appropriate for us to go ahead and choose to return, to repent, and to leave the area of evil. Sharshus Ata Biatenuhu. Because that's also our choice that we have in our hands now. So what the Rambam lays out here is that A, he challenges the notion of a deterministic outlook for humanity. Meaning a person cannot believe that when a person is born, he has no ability to choose whatsoever. Within his framework, his whole life is laid out for him. He'll be either at Tzaddik or Russia. He can never choose one over the other. And that God goes that way. And also, since we have this ability to choose, we should recognize it's such an important tool when it comes to something like tshuva. And we should be horrified that we committed a sin because we chose to do something like that. Therefore, he says, yeah. Okay, so now the Rambam says something obvious in Lacha Gimel. V'davar ze ikar gadol hu, right? This is an essential idea. Hu amud Torah, right? So this is a pillar of Torah, about mitzvah. Shnemar reina sati v'necha yom etzachayim. Uksiv re'anoki nosem v'necha mayom. Klomar shar shus b'yedchem. Right? So this is an ikar of Torah, meaning the Torah makes no sense. It makes no sense for us to ever adhere to a system of Torah, which is filled with commandments, right? If you don't believe in free will, right? Klomar shus b'yedchem. Right? V'chol shiachbots adam lasos yimasa b'nei adam v'osa b'nei tovim b'nei. Right? So when God says, re'anochi nosein lifnechem ayom, right? And all the things he says about that, that's telling us we have the ability to choose, right? Right? So God never forces man to what he called to do anything. It's all in his hands. Okay? Now, what's important is, of course, you could ask the famous question, well, what about the I'm going to say this carefully, the Agadita / Medrash that God held Har Sinai above the Jewish people and in a sense forced them to accept the Torah. So I have a shot for that, but that's not relevant for now. It's clear you can never take that literally, because if that were the case, it would make no sense to say that an ikar of Torah is the idea of free will, and that God doesn't force us to do things, right, to choose good or bad, yet the very acceptance of the Torah itself was something forced upon us. That's just absolutely absurd. So to take that literally makes absolutely no sense. So that's why when people ever present that medrash, I explain to them that that can't be taken literally. Okay. Halacha Dalet. He says, now, Ilu akel haya gozer adam liot tzadik arasha. O ilu haya sham davar shemoshe chazan av ikra told us, o lederach min adrachem, o lamada min amados, o ledea min adeos, o lamasa min amasim. Okay, if it were the case that God actually did decree for a person to be at tzadik arasha, all right, or that he's forced down a certain path, right, or certain traits that he can never override, or to do certain actions, right? Kemosha bodim liba matipshim hovre shemayim, right? Heyachaya mitzvah lano idea neviim asekach v'alta asekach. So then, how could it ever be that our prophets come to us and tell us to do this and not to do that? Hey tivu darchechem al teichu acharei shachem. It would make no sense when they say, "Do correct your ways, right? Change your ways. Don't go by the evil ways." V'hu mitchilas v'yasa kvar nigzar alav. But the person could just say, what do you mean? It's a deterministic outlook. I had no choice, right? Oh, told us so, Tim Shochoso Dabar, Shev Shalazo Zimeno. Or a person says, I was born a certain way. I can't do anything about it, right? What am I supposed to do? The whole idea of culpability gets thrown out the window. Umma makam haya l'chol Torah kula, uve eze din, ve eze mishpat niframin a rasha, misham schad tzadik. Then it would make no sense to have things like a tzadik being rewarded and a rasha being punished. It would make no sense. Hashofe kolars lo yasem mishpat. Okay, so I'm sorry, here's the transition point. Now don't ask yourself, how is it that a person, okay, how is it possible to say that a person really truly has complete freedom to do what he wants, okay, and his actions are within his framework of what to do and what not to do, meaning this is something that is unique to man, and he has complete control over, okay? V'chiyaseb olam davar shelo b'rishus kono v'lo chafetzo. Right, how could it be that a person, has this ability to do what he wants, and he'll do something that is against the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, v'akasuv omer, kol asher chafetz Hashem asav ashmayim v'aretz. Anything that God wants, so to speak, he made in the universe. Okay? So how could it be that a human can choose something, right, that goes against, I mean, choosing something bad, that goes against the very good that God wants from us to do? So the Rambam is slowly angling us, he's getting us ready for what's going to be the famous issue, which is the concept of how could free will exist? And again, a Hilchos Tshuva question, knowing full well what we discussed in the Yesod HaTorah about the idea of God's knowledge being complete and being the creator, etc. This is one of the most vexing questions that exists in free will, and it's underneath a category that's called fatalism. Fatalism is the idea that if a deity, so to speak, knows what I'm going to do, so I really, how do I really have free will? Okay, so he says, "Da shakol kichafetzo yase," right? The afbi shemaseinu mesurin lano. That now he tries to create a parallel, right? We're always doing, okay, we always do what we want, right? We're also always doing what God wants us to do to some extent, even though we have control over actions. Ketzad kishem she yotzer chafetz lios eser ruach olun lamala. Now, back to our elements, okay? Just like the fire and air, they're desire is the wrong word, but they're made in a way. In other words, their direction they go in, right? Their driving force is to go up. The hamayim v'aretz yordun lamata, right? And the water and the earth go down, okay? The agagal sovev be'igol, right? Remember, that's the sphere always rotating. V'chein shar b'riyas olam, Leos kimin hagam shechafetz bo, and so to other creatures that God created them in a way, in the way that he, so to speak, desired, that they operate the way that they do. Okay? Kachof chafetz leos adam reshuso biyado. This is what God wanted. God wanted, again, whereas God programmed into everything else in the universe things working in a deterministic way, okay? God as well wanted by man to not work in this deterministic way. Okay, meaning he wants man to have that ability to choose, even if it meant he chooses evil. V'chol masa misur lo, lo yeh lo kofa v'lo moshech. Elohuma atzmo v'daito, shenasun lo hakel, ose kol she'adam yachol asos. So God's desire, so to speak, I hate that word, but God's desire or God's plan was to give man this unique trait, all right, and that fits into his overall plan, even though man may choose evil. Lefikach dananoso lefi masav. But that's why God judges man, and this is another critical metaphysical point, which is the idea of schar v'onesh, that God judges man lefi masav. That, and by the way, it's those few words really capture the essence of what schar v'onesh is all about, and which also, forget the superstitious aspects of things like skulas, it really gets into the idea of ultimately a person's judged based on his actions. That's it, right? This is it. Of thinking if I do X, I'll get rewarded, when it has nothing to do with actions I've done, right, as Torah and mitzvos, make it as clear as possible here. Lefikach danan oso lefimasa. Im osa tova, mativin lo. If you do good, you get good. Im osa ra, marin lo. And if you do evil things happen, bad things happen to you. Husha navi omer, miyedchem tiezos lachem. Kamheima bachur bedarchehem. Uvinian ze, amar shlomo, smach bachur bihaldusecha. V'da ki al kol eile v'yacha halokim v'mishpat. Klomar, da sheyesh b'yadcha koach, know that you have the power in your hands, lasos, the osed ataliten esavdin. Okay? So on the one hand, right, we have this unique ability to choose, but what that brings about is the idea of judgment. Whereas God can't, so to speak, judge a rock, because rocks don't have a will. There's no, they're deterministic. So the very idea of judgment, okay, could only exist if we had free will. So, and again, going back to what he said before, and it made no sense to believe in the Torah if you didn't believe in the idea of free will. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll pick this up tomorrow. Have a good day.